Hello and welcome to PBS Western Reserve's City-Centric Podcast Series. My name is Jeff Good, and this podcast series serves as a companion to our City-Centric TV series, where we take a closer look at those community members that are centric or central to the pulse of each of our featured cities. Community members like the entrepreneur, the entertainer, the revitalizer, the politician, the humanitarian, and even the future are featured in each of the City-Centric episodes, currently rebroadcast exclusively on PBS Western Reserve throughout the fall and throughout the winter. The City-Centric podcast series takes a deeper dive with each of our featured City-Centric community members, where we look even further into what makes them City-Centric and really what makes their city centric to them. I'm so happy today to say our guest is Samantha Turner. Samantha is a Youngstown City Councilwoman serving Youngstown's 3rd Ward. She was born in Youngstown. She has been dedicated to public service as she begins her second term as councilwoman. She has served on the public health, the public utilities, parking, and zoning committees. Ms. Turner is a University of Florida graduate with a Bachelor of Science in Advertising with a concentration in business administration. In the community, Ms. Turner is active with the Rotary Club of Youngstown, the Rich Center for Autism, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Youngstown, First Night Youngstown, the Ebony Ladies Golf and Youth Foundation, the Historical Society of Youngstown and Mahoning Valley. My goodness, Samantha has been appointed to the United States 250 Commission for Ohio. In her personal life, Turner is devoted to her family and remains active in her community. She's an avid reader, a gardener, an animal lover, and enjoys spending time with her son, her family, and friends. Samantha is a dedicated public servant who has worked tirelessly to improve the lives of her constituents. Through her commitment to service, she has made a significant contribution to the community. Welcome. That's a mouthful. Welcome, Samantha. Thank you so much for being part of our podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. That sounds like, I'm like, who is that he is talking about?
That's me. Absolutely. So, our folks, since the series has been running, they've had a chance to meet you, you know, via the series. And obviously that lovely introduction and your bio tells a lot about you, but I'm sure I've missed some things along the way. So take a moment, tell our listeners maybe a little bit more about your background or something that we may not have covered with your bio, just something about yourself that we may have missed.
Okay. You got a lot covered there in the bio. Anything you may have missed? Man, my son is in gymnastics, and I never knew how much I wanted to flip until I saw a little kid flipping. And that is probably one of those biggest things about me that people don't know, is that the child in me is being reborn. Every day looking at my little guy. So yeah, I think that's it. You got everything. I volunteer, I have fun with my family, work
absolutely as an elected official. Absolutely. And
yeah. So it really, I think you've covered all the bases, but that biggest thing is that I feel like I'm becoming a little younger every day with him by my side. So
well, we always do. We never get older. We always get younger. That's how that clock works. Yeah. I certainly can admit to that myself.
Yes. So, I think that's the only thing.
This is the trick question for you. You've got to come up with two truths and a lie, and I've got to figure out what is your lie, Samantha.
Okay. Let's see. One, I am a history buff. I have 29 cousins, and I work out. I'm a fitness enthusiast these days.
Well, I tell you what, my streak is, I think I'm on the struggle again, but I'm gonna say the 29 cousins, but I know I'm wrong.
You are right.
Oh my goodness. You came up with that number so quick. So that's why I thought for sure, you know, you remembered all of your cousins. So I figured, so you love history and you love to work out.
Yes. That's, those are two things that, those are things that people don't know, as well. That's, it was a huge part of my growing up, and that I really loved with history. And I spent every elective, I think, when I was in university taking history courses. So yeah, that's a big part of me. And then working out these days, I say you have to lead in more ways than one. So your health and wellness has to be at the center of your life, because you want people to see that you are healthy and you're prioritizing that. And it's just essential. So yeah, I've been very active in getting healthy and building strong muscles and ensure that I'm taking vitamins, seeing the doctor, and making sure that I have the strength and energy to continue to be a leader in the community.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, and you mentioned that in the show, you mentioned the term community servant. That's really what, and it struck me, because that's really, you were very passionate about that description. So tell us a little bit about the day in the life of Samantha Turner, community servant.
Community servant. Wow. Let's just pick a second Tuesday of the month. I am up early, taking my son to school. If there is something going on at school, I'm very active at the school, as he's my only child, but both of my nieces went there and I played a really big role in their lives. So I probably go into the school more than I need to and talk to the teachers. The school is located in my ward, so if they ever need anything, I'm trying to be there for them. The place where I go to work out is located in the ward, which is in front of the school at the Jewish Community Center. So I make myself available to them all the time. So that's the start of the day. It's taking my son in to school, working out, and then really getting the day going right thereafter. From there, I take calls, have meetings, spend a lot of time at my local coffee shop and Culture House. And there I do a lot of my in-person meetings. It's much easier to have them in person, take calls. That's a good portion of the day. You can spend a lot of time just talking to people. A one-hour meeting almost always flows into an hour and a half meeting. And after that, I answer more emails. And depending on the organization that I'm doing something for, a couple of events, large fundraisers, I chair for some of the organizations that I work with. And just answering those emails and organizing those groups, that takes several hours. And usually on that day, on that second Tuesday, I have a board meeting for one of my organizations, the Rich Center for Autism. We have our board meeting. That's an hour that night. Get my son off the bus and take my son to gymnastics, come home, cook dinner. And that's the public servant in me. I added those things in about my son, but then also I take care of my parents, and I do that in between and with other assistance from the family. So that's the day in the life of a servant, really being available for people to talk, to correspond with via email, or to sit down and have a conversation.
What I find interesting about that, Samantha, is as you told that story and you told your day, that's for the folks that are listening that may have not caught that at the beginning, that's just your Tuesday. You know, so I'm not going to put you on a spot for the other days, because I'm sure they're just as busy. So that speaks volumes for the whole idea that you expressed in the City Centric series about being a community servant. And we appreciate that. Now, one of the things you talk about in the series is you talk about one of the roles that you play is looking at writing new laws or updating laws for Youngstown, because many of the laws were based upon, you know, and I'm taking liberties in this to say old Youngstown. So, you know, can you share any stories about some of the old laws that you looked at that you may have changed that kind of made you laugh a little bit, that really applied back in the day, so to speak, that now are have been changed under your direction or under the city of Youngstown's direction?
Well, the funniest of the laws, we haven't taken a lot of time to change them. They just are, I keep, they aren't enforced. Like one of the funniest that I learned in 2020, and I came in just a small sidebars. I came in at the top of COVID. So I think I did three council meetings in person And then after that, for well over a year, they were all via Zoom. So all I could do was read and understand and surf the internet. And I came across one that said, it's illegal to run out of gas in Youngstown. And some people, if you know me, I'm like notorious, like with the car. Yeah, you know, it's the car. And I run out of gas at least twice. And I'm thinking, I never called the police. I was calling my brother. And I wonder if they came, if somebody would even know. And a lot of times we realize that you tell an officer and he's like, oh, is that a thing? Oh, we didn't know that. But that was one. And there's a law about chickens and fowls, which have been, we're in the process of working through that because, as you know, old Youngstown, the east side was really rural, still is, and there were so many farms. And Youngstown was really a farm space until a lot of changes began to happen and highways began to be put in. So you could basically have a farm in the city, and really depending on where you are, and not have any problems with it. So that's one of those laws that, for me personally, as you read my bio, I'm a gardener and I love the environment. So for me, you want some chickens and a goat to take your grass down, I'm completely fine with it. But the neighbor that has to hear that rooster every morning so you can get your eggs is not happy about that. So that's one that I find it that it was so open and so broad. Now we have to make changes. And it's kind of rough to do that in this climate because people are trying, finding any way that they can to save dollars, to be environmental friendly. So that's one that has been, I hate to say it's comical, but it is when you go by someone's house and realize why you have a menagerie of animals. How do we fix this? You know, we've seen, I wish I could show a picture here. We've had turkeys, ducks, chickens, roosters, and geese at one person's house.
Oh my goodness.
And there's one image from summer of 2021 where she has a huge lot next to her house, and they're just kind of walking around in the lot like nobody's business. Turkeys get bigger and bigger. And I have a constituent send me a picture. And like, you got to ride down here now. And it's, you know, right around the corner of my house. And I ride down, and the turkey's just walking across the street. Like, I'm just moseying on along. And I'm like, how do we fix this? And the neighbor says, we've had these animals for years, and it hasn't been a problem until now. They're just roaming, two by two, just walking. So that's one of the ones that we are currently working on and have been for years. So this is a contentious conversation when people are doing it right and some are doing it wrong.
So we're kind of at halftime here. So our folks that are listening, you're listening to PBS Western Reserve City Centric podcast series. The City Centric television series isn't just about the city, but more about the people that are central or centric to that particular city, folks like Samantha. The TV series focuses on folks like the revitalizer, the entertainer, the entrepreneur, the politician, the humanitarian, and even the future that each community member can claim makes them city-centric. You're listening to the City Centric podcast series, and we take a deeper dive with each of our featured city-centric community members. We're learning about ducks and chickens and geese with Samantha, and really what makes them their city-centric to them. So be sure to catch the rebroadcasts of our City-Centric Season 1. That's appearing exclusively on PBS Western Reserve throughout the fall and the winter. So we're so pleased once again to be learning about animals 2x2 with Samantha Turner. And so one of your roles is being in charge of many of the active parks on Youngstown's north side. And then you say that parks are really community stabilizers. So what do you mean by that? And what are some examples of Youngstown's parks being part of that stabilization of a community? You know, is it events? Is it activities? What does that?
Yeah, the park system, I think in every city, really, like I said, stabilizes the neighborhood. Whether your neighborhood is filled with children, or young families, I should say, or seniors. The parks are very important, most public green spaces, I should say. For, and like I said in our in the interview, I have the one of the highest revenue generating parks, and in that park we have a community center, not so much a community center, a pavilion that is available for renting. So people have baby showers, birthday parties, repasts, just all, celebrations, family picnics, family reunions in this space, and it's been a lot of revitalization of that space. It went almost 50 years with not being updated. And since the update, it grows and grows every year. And more changes are made to enhance it for the, not just the neighborhood, but also for the city to help generate more revenue to put into our park space. We have our municipal golf course, which is one of very few in the state that brings in people, not just from the city, but also from the surrounding area. We have a few high schools who that's their home course where they're able to play, they play and practice for their golf outings. And we have organizations that hold golf outings at the golf course as well. So bringing in people to the community and having that added benefit with just at Wick Park and Crandall Park, which are both within about a mile of each other on Youngstown's north side, we have three senior facilities and one directly across a senior independent living and a well of assisted living. And they aid bring out seniors and walk them from the assisted living. And we have individuals from our independent living who walk the park. It's 1 mile around Wick. And then up at Crandall, there's also a pavilion for rent. And then there's a creek where one of my great friends goes and forages mushrooms and gets worms for fishing. It's just a great space for families to grow. And I think that investing in those parks and green spaces helps the surrounding community as well, because again, you have a place and a space for everyone. Playground equipment for your toddler, you know, little free libraries just for you to come and switch out a book, a pavilion for you to have your birthday party or your family reunion, or walking trail that's 1 mile around each time that you can go take your laps and get your exercise in. And those are benefits, especially for younger families. I know that our families are what the average is one kid, where several years ago it was 2.5 kids. But I do think that as a city, we need to get to the space where we are reimagining what our parks look like. We don't need to minimize them. We just need to reimagine them. And by looking at our census in each of the areas, what does that park look like? Who do we need to provide this space for? So some may have all of the things I just mentioned, and some may just have benches, beautification, and walking, or they may need a playground in other spaces and shade, just so that people have a space. So reimagining what that looks like and how it can hold up each neighborhood. And I think that was one of the points, is we have to get back into our neighborhoods, and doing that through our parks and green spaces is a good conduit.
So you talked about reimagining. So now I'm going to have you use your imagination, and you're going to look into your crystal ball. And that crystal ball is revealing the future of Youngstown. What do you see as Youngstown's future?
Youngstown's future, pulling it through the community and building a stronger Youngstown, I think Youngstown really takes the region to the next level. And I say this a lot. So as Youngstown goes, the region goes. And that's a multi-county effort as we sit directly between New York and Chicago, with 80 passing through, focusing on the tech hub and having the space that we have. And I know we talk, it's negative about the population decline and how Youngstown held up over 200,000 people at a time, and now we both the small 60,000. What do we do, right? And if we continue to be strategic about bringing organizations together, you know, such as our chamber, our regional chamber of government, and our cities, connecting our cities with Youngstown and Camel and Struthers and Liberty, connecting Mahoning to Trumbull County, and Youngstown leading that way, I think we have a stronger region, we have a stronger city, and more resources to invest back into the city. But the only way we're going to do that is if we get out and bring the community along with us and serve them the best way we can. And that starts in our neighborhoods, that starts in our small businesses, so that all of those other entities see that we are investing here to help build up a bigger and greater region.
So I asked this question of all of my interviewees so far. So I'm going to address it to you. Samantha Turner, you're Youngstown's third ward councilwoman. What qualities, characteristics, personalities, or a combination of all of those makes you city-centric?
What makes me city-centric is I have a deep love and care for this city. Being born and raised here, a family of entrepreneurs, and from a family of all-consuming love. And it's just that love of people that led me to the space that I am currently in today. And it pushes me to be as open and transparent as possible. And sometimes that gets me in trouble, but it's the only way I know how to be able to provide people with a process to give them the information that they need, no matter what the consequences are. If you say I need an answer, I'm going to give you an answer. And I think that transparency on where our community is, how we got here, and understanding their point and their opinion on how we move forward makes me city-centric. My mind is very strategic in how to connect those dots. I think I said in the interview that, you know, we are a matchmaker in a lot of ways, and it's because so many people come to us as council people. They do think that we have a cape on our back, that we can do just about anything. And we're talking to the neighbors. We are working with, as you can see, volunteering and sitting on boards and organizations. And then we're also in the government. And what makes me city-centric is I consistently work to figure out how to connect those dots, how we take a large city with 2 inches of money and make that stretch to a mountain. You know, that being strategic, connecting the dots, that makes me city-centric. And being positive and having the hope that those dots and those connections and those relationships can make a change for Youngstown, our community, and eventually, inevitably, our region.
Samantha, I can't thank you enough for being a guest on our City Centric podcast series. It struck home, you know, being a Youngstown, Mahoning Valley, Youngstown resident, it really struck home with me. So thank you so much for that. For you folks that have been listening to PBS Western Reserve City Centric podcast series, I'm Jeff Good, and PBS Western Reserve City Centric television series isn't just about the city, but more about people like Samantha that are central to that particular city. The TV series being rebroadcast throughout the fall and winter exclusively on PBS Western Reserve focuses on folks like the revitalizer, the entertainer, the entrepreneur, the politician, the humanitarian, and we take even a closer look at the future that each community member can claim makes them city-centric. The City-Centric podcast series As you're hearing here, we've learned about ducks and we've learned about matchmaking and we've learned about all kinds of things. Takes a deeper dive with each of our city-centric featured community members, and we look even further into what really makes them city-centric and makes their city centric to them. So what makes a community member city-centric? Well, join us next time as we continue the conversation with those featured community members on PBS Western Reserve City-Centric Podcast Series and the series exclusively on PBS Western Reserve.